Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look down the chapter a little bit to see what he's talking about. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now let's look over, please, to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. For sake of time, let's read verse 29. Then called for a light, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he in all his straightway. Chapter 18, verse 12. When Gallio was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of their synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things. Chapter 24. 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loosen, wherefore he sent from the oftener and communed with him. The last I want to read is in the 26th chapter. Chapter 26, verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, We're both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In nights that have gone by, and again tonight, you have been hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ being the only way of salvation, and that's what the Bible says. There's different things that's involved in salvation, and I want to think of them tonight, or one of them at least. We've been speaking about the Holy Spirit of God as well, and the Spirit of God is in the world today, that's His work, and as you've already been hearing, the work of the Lord Jesus, as far as salvation is concerned, has been finished. God has recognized that, and God has been satisfied with that, for the simple reason He raised them from the dead. But then the Holy Spirit of God has been in the world now for nearly 2,000 years, and His work is to make men and women realize that they are accountable for their sin, making them to realize that there's judgment for sin, making them to realize as well that Christ on the cross has paid the debt to bring them into salvation. I want to think of another ingredient tonight in the work of salvation, and that is this. The Word of God. Sometimes people ask us, how can you be so sure that you're going to heaven and never be in hell? The only reason we can know is because of this. It's the only reason. It's the only way of knowing. And I'll say this as I pass by, I say it carefully, if this book is untrue, we'll all be in the lake of fire. For that's all we deserve. But you see, this book, the Word of God, is what's necessary to show us what the Spirit of God is doing and show us what Christ has already done, and in order to bring us to salvation, letting us see. My father often said, it's a revelation from God when a person gets saved. I used to say to him, sometimes people will think you're talking about a vision or something. No, he says, it's not a vision. And he says, nobody gets saved in a dream, but it is a revelation from God. The more I see of it, the more I'm convinced he's right. The Spirit of God has to open the mind, first of all, to see, I need it. The Spirit of God then shows the person that recognizes their judgment for their sin, that Christ has died instead, and He's paid redemption's price. And the Spirit of God opens the eyes, and it's the Spirit of God that gives birth into the family of God. You see, the night I got saved, I was only 9. And beside that, I didn't realize that I was born again. I didn't feel anything. And for quite a while after that, I often wondered when they talked about being born again, I wonder if I am. I didn't realize that's the work of the Spirit of God. He's bringing a person into the family of God, and it's through Him. Therefore, it's so important to get a hold of this truth. It's not just a matter of giving your heart to Jesus. It's not a matter of coming up to the front and shaking hands with some preacher. It's not a matter of joining some church. In God's name, what church would you join? That's what so many people are asking. Who's right? So we're here trying to get people to join the gospel hall. 1,000 times no. That's not our infection here. If that's all it was, I'd go home tomorrow. But we're here for one purpose, to let men and women see that from this book, God has shown us that we're sinners. But Christ died for us. Now I want you just to think of Matthew 13 for a minute. I'm going to take out of that just the idea of the gospel tonight from Matthew 13. The sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell among the thorns, and some fell in the good ground. Now I want to say before I go any further right here, there's only one kind of ground that brought forth fruit. What he's trying to show us here in this simply is this. The sower
is the Holy Spirit of God. He's sowing the seed, and he's sowing it all around this world tonight. People in every clime and nation are hearing the Word of God. The sower is the Word of God, or the Spirit of God, and the seed that he's sowing is the Word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Word, and there's nothing wrong with the sower. The problem that there's only one kind of ground that brings forth fruit is because of the ground, not the sower, and not the seed. See, you could take a barley seed, or oats, or whatever you like, and you could lay it there, and if it could stay there for 50 years, it would still be the same 50 years from now. But you take that seed then and put it into good fertile ground, and it'll burst aside and start to come up. Why? It's in the environment that it needs to be in. And you see, the reason why we keep on pounding away night after night about sin and judgment and showing you that Christ has died on the cross, you must be born again. The reason why we keep at it is simply this. The Spirit of God can take the Word and begin to work the ground. And he'd be able to show men and women, and the ground must be worked up. The ground must be put in good condition. In other words, what I'm saying is, the sinner has to recognize the fact that I am a sinner. And I know everybody in the meeting probably tonight would say, oh yeah, we're all sinners. I like one thing Mr. Ramsey said. So, there were five or six women came in one night. High class women, which is very nice. When they were going out, because that night he was keeping on saying, it's a hard job for people to say, I'm a sinner. He said, you know, people would say all are sinners, but it's a hard job for an individual to say, I'm the sinner. They were going out, and this woman ahead of the rest, she says, I can say I'm a sinner. Well, he says, say it then. Well, she didn't expect that one. Then she says, I can say it. I said, go ahead, say it. Well, she says, I can say it. Well, she says, say it. Finally. She kind of stumbled at, well, I can say I'm a sinner along with everybody else. See, she couldn't say it and leave it there. But the person that gets God's salvation recognizes, I'm a sinner before God. So the sower sowed the seed. Some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and picked it up. It's like the scripture going forth. It's like the word being spoken night after night. And we're finding it here in Victoria Drive. Almost 3 weeks have gone by, and we're finding a very same thing. When the word is spoken, what's happening? The devil's right there, and he takes away the word. Like the fowls that take away the seed. He takes away a word, and even while the meeting is going on. Now I'm going to challenge some of you tonight here. While Mr. Hull was preaching, what was going through your mind? If you're honest before God, you'll likely say, well, he's dynamic, and he seems to think he knows what he's saying, but really, is it right? See, the devil's taken away the word. And already it's gone. And like the black man preaching, he says, I've got a very generous crowd of people before me. He says, the people in the front there saying, oh, that's good. And I saw the back in the third seat. And then the people in the third seat, there's, man, I'm glad he's getting at it tonight. That's good for so-and-so back there. And it keeps going back. And he says, it keeps rolling on back. And the first thing I do is right at the door and does nobody any good. My friend in this meeting, if we get nothing more across tonight than this, any more than what has already been said, if you can't take this book and rely on it, you can't get to heaven. It's the only way, it's the only thing it will tell you. First of all, you need it, and it's the only thing that you can depend on. You've got to get from the book. Now, I know People say sometimes you have to get a verse of scripture. And one young fellow, the preacher asked him, he says, are you saved? Oh, yes, he says, I'm saved. Well, he says, what are you depending on? He says, my verse is John 3:16. Good one. But you need more than the verse. You need the person in the verse. Which is a different thing entirely. So what he's saying here, there's the different kinds of ground. Now, for the next 10 minutes, if you could find out what kind of ground you are, maybe it would help you to understand why you're not saved. And that's the reason why they're read in the different scriptures there in the Acts of the Apostles. The same preacher, all four cases, preaches the same word. The first one, stony ground. What happens? He's preaching, and as soon as he opens his mouth, the man, he has no desire whatsoever. He's careless about the whole thing, and he just turns away from it altogether, and Galileo cared for none of these things. Stony ground. It didn't get in. No root. Then you come to the next man, and he's the kind of person that hears the word, and he understands there's something to this. He trembles. But he says, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. No conviction. The first man, no root. The next man, no conviction. And a person amongst our company here tonight that will not recognize the importance of getting this matter settled now, really has no conviction. Maybe he's saying, I'd like to be saved. But when? It's my convenient season. We never read where this man Felix ever had a convenient season. And God doesn't make bargains with anybody. He does say, now is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. And when the Spirit of God comes along and deals with an individual, speaks to them about their... And if a person in this meeting has any concern whatsoever about eternity, I want to tell you right now, that's not natural. The natural mind will never be perceptive of the Word of God. In fact, you go back to Genesis, and you'll find the man that was perfect in the Garden of Eden, and when he sins, you would think, after being in a garden like that, and not understanding the perfectness of what he was before, you would think if anybody would want to be saved, it would be him. No, he runs and hides amongst the trees of the garden, because that's the way it is with human beings. There's none that seeketh after God. Romans 3. And I believe that with all my heart. The only person that's seeking after God is the person that the Spirit of God has been dealing with and plowing up the ground. And God only knows how he has to plow it sometimes. One man said, it was the year my grandfather died. In fact, it reminds me now when my father-in-law died. My oldest son, 18, he came into the room that night, and the body stretched out in a coffin. And he went over, and he stood there for a good 15 minutes, just looking. I was standing by. I could almost see the wheels turning. He's wondering where he is. Because just a few hours before he died, he said, I wouldn't tell you this if my wife was here, it would be too hard on her. But just a few hours before he died, he says to the nurse, put the blinds up, it's getting dark. She says, sir, the sun is shining into the windows as bright as it ever does. He's standing. He's thinking.
God through lifetime speaks to people once, yea, twice. Job 33. Man perceiveth it not. Is it possible there's someone in the meeting tonight, and the last series of meetings you were thinking carefully about this matter? Put it off. He says, my convenience season. No, says God, you accept it on my terms. And that may be tonight. The next man, Agrippa, the king, the same preacher, the same word, and he's even telling him how he got saved. This religious Jew that was one time hating the Christians and would have nothing to do with the Christ. I was staying in a hotel one time, Yarmouth, working for the government. The lady that owned the hotel, she was a Jewish person. I said to her after we were talking for a few minutes, I said, from your name I would gather, you're Jewish. Yes, she says, I am. I said, thank God. She says, what reason? Well, I says, the Jews were God's chosen people. But she says, they still are. Well, I said, God has come in and now he's taken in both Jew and Gentile. She says, how? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. She turned and she spit on the wall. The name Jesus. It just rubs them the wrong way. The Orthodox. But my friend, I want to show you here, this person, Agrippa, he's listening to the great preacher. Maybe the best preacher that ever lived, I would love to hear. They tell me that they're going to be able to bring back voices from the past, because voices that goes out in the airwaves never are lost. And they're saying that somehow they're trying to get back those airwaves. I hope they can get it back. I'd like to listen to the apostle. But if I don't hear him while I'm here, oh, I want to see there's one that he accepted the Lord Jesus, the greatest orator of the universe, and he's going to explain to us exceeding riches of his grace. My, sometimes, when I was a younger person, I used to go to those conferences there in Pugwash Junction. Some of those venerable men, my, I tell you, they had weight and power with them. And when they'd open the dark things of Scripture, even a young fellow could understand it. And I used to say to myself, what will it be like when the Lord Jesus Christ himself not only is telling us, but showing us? I think he'll let you pick up the Apostle Paul and say, here, I'll show you something here. Here's a trophy of the grace of God. Yeah, and he'll pick up Chalmers that you're hearing about and he'll say, here's another one. And he'll pick up Albert. And he'll say, look what I've done for him. My, what a salvation is. Oh, I wish I didn't make you open up water for salvation tonight. Think of it, you're going on through life, through the journey of life, and no salvation. And to come to the end of the journey, and no salvation, no heaven, but for all eternity, the torments of eternal fire. My friend of this meeting, give your soul a chance. Devil, he'll cheat you out of it if he can. God's word plainly puts it. Here's another man. Here's the same word. No root. No depth. No conviction. But just for a minute or two to close the meeting, let me tell you about the good ground. The Apostle Paul and Silas, those mighty men of God, they're sitting in the jail with their hands in the stocks and their feet in the stocks. Man, that's a good thing it wasn't me. God knew who to pick up for that kind of work. I'd like you to be sitting there thinking I'm in the wrong place. But what are they doing? They're singing unto the Lord. And they're praying. And I suppose they're praying to get out. No, I don't think so.
to praying for the men in the prison. And they're singing the songs of the redeemed. And here's a man that's just as careless as Agrippa and Gallio was. I don't think he put the stripes on it. You can think what you like. I don't think he did that. There was lictors for that work. But he was given charge to look after them. And while he's sound asleep at midnight, that's when it happened. At midnight, there was a great earthquake. And I wonder sometimes what it will take to arouse, what kind of an earthquake is it going to be? To awaken some soul in our meeting that's heard the gospel all their lives. And still going on without it. What kind of an earthquake is it going to take? One woman said it was the year my baby died. Almost 21 years ago, David came into the room, the hospital. Father, 47% burnt. What a mess. He just stood there. He couldn't say anything. I said, "David, we've been through a lot together. He'd been my co-pilot for years. I said, we've been through thunderstorms and hail and turbulence that sometimes you wonder if the thing can stand it. I said, we've been through a lot together. But I've been through something today that I hope you'll never understand or feel the effects of it. For I've been through a little bit of what hell must be like. And very little of that. Because I was at least 2 feet from the fire. And I was only there for a few moments. But I said, I've been through something that must be like hell itself. I hope you'll never know what that's like." That bothered him. But I'm going to tell you something what really bothered him. The letters started coming in from America, from Canada, from England, from Ireland, from Venezuela, and people all over the place were praying. Letter after letter. And he got to thinking about this whole thing. He said, "Here I am. All these people praying for my father, but I can't even pray for him. I'm not saved." An earthquake. An earthquake. I wouldn't want to have to go through it again. But I can sincerely say, if it was the means of some individual being in glory forever, I would say, "Lord, once again. What will it be for a sinner to die in his sins? Down to the eternal burnings. Never to rise out of the horizon forever. The good and the honest ground." He comes in trembling. God is dealing with him. God is speaking. Did he never hear an earthquake before? I'm sure he did. But not like this one. Because it's God in the earth. Must I do to be saved? And they said, I'm glad what they said. You know, if it was some of the preachers of the day, they would say, "Go and join the church." You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to describe it. And some other preachers would say, "Oh, well, just do the best you can and give your money to the good cause and so on and live a half decent life and God will look upon that." The answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. And thou shalt. I want to ask you something. Would you put your trust on Christian to take you to heaven? Oh, he said, "Don't be so ridiculous." No, that is ridiculous. Would you put your trust on Clinton? Would you put your trust in the Queen of England to take it ahead? You say, of course not. Could you put your trust in the Lord Jesus? That's all he's asking you to do. Could you trust him? Could you trust his work? What he has accomplished? If you can, forget about how much faith you got. Get occupied with what he did. What did he do?
He died on the cross. He already heard that. God was satisfied with that. We know that because he raised him from the dead.
If he had not been satisfied and fully satisfied with that work, he'd still be in the grave along with Muhammad.
He's raised. Because he's raised, we have the assurance God is satisfied.
Could you be satisfied with his work tonight? I want to leave you with this word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't put the emphasis on your believing. Put the emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray?
Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in thy holy presence a moment to pray. We give thanks for thy holy word that thou hast given us in our own mother tongue. Thou hast made it simple. Thou hast made it plain. And we thank thee we can depend on it. It's a faithful work. It's well for acceptance. O God, grant us some precious soul in this meeting tonight. They get by themselves and their own thinking and their own devising and just to be able to rely alone on what thou hast said. We thank thee the Lord Jesus Christ must be lifted up, and he was. We thank thee he finished the work God gave him to do, and thou hast raised him up, and he's seated at thine own right hand tonight as a Prince and a Savior. Lord, remember those in our meeting not saved, and grant that we might have the joy very soon of hearing of some precious soul trusting the Savior of men for his name's sake.